puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it's time once again for Abandoned Manitoba. This is when we welcome Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, in past episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, I've talked about some of the things my wife and I found in walks around Winnipeg during the pandemic.
Right.
This week, our topic is commercial buildings we found in some of the city's older areas. We're talking about corner stores, which bring back memories from my childhood.
Oh, me too. Wow. How so for you?
Well, I grew up in Charleswood, and I attended Dieppe School. Sometimes when I had a bit of money, my friends and I would buy candy at a little store on Roblin Boulevard near our school. It was known as Roger's Fine Foods, and it opened in 1946 by Roger and Anna Rusnak. Now, the Charleswood History book notes that the Rusnaks ran, and this is a quote, a tight ship, and I would definitely agree. You know, whenever we entered the store, we became the subject of some really hawkish stares from Mrs. Rusnak, who I suspect thought we were up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
The store closed around 1974, and the building was later demolished to make way for a strip mall. But for 28 years, it was one of the many corner stores that operated all over the city.
Yep. On my way to school in elementary, we had one called Simon's. There wasn't really a sign on the store, but the guy who owned it, I think his name was Simon. We called him Simey sometimes. We also had in my area, I think it was just a store. We just had names for them. We called one JK.
Yep.
And then there was Bendersky's as well, all on the corners. And in some areas, you can tell those stores were once there because they're kind of different looking structures on the corners that are now residential, but they don't look like houses that you're familiar
That's
with.
That's right. Yeah.
So really common in residential neighborhoods. What else can you tell us about that?
Well, they judging from the number of former corner stores that my wife and I found during our walks, the areas where they typically were most concentrated were in the North End, in Point Douglas and Fort Rouge. And like you say, there were some fairly distinguishing features of a former corner store, even if they were long gone in terms of the actual store. They had, for example, a door right at the corner of the building. And, you know, you don't tend to see that very often in a private home. And of course, like you said, they are at a corner of an intersection where two roads come together. And I guess that was to draw attention to them more.
Were there ones that particularly stood out for you?
I've always assumed that corner stores were mom and pop shops. You know, in other words, they were run by a single family as compared to the chain stores that we've talked about before in Abandoned Manitoba. You know, starting in the 1920s and continuing through the 1930s, stores like Safeway and Piggly Wiggly that were owned and supplied by large companies, you know, they began opening all over the place, in especially in residential neighborhoods. While it was true that most of the corner stores were owned and operated independently, they were not all supplied independently. You know, so for example, in 1933, as the Safeways were popping up all over the place, a Winnipeg-based wholesale grocer known as Marin Brothers announced the formation of what they called anchor stores. And by 1934, there were 39 anchor stores around Winnipeg, all owned independently, but benefiting from the mass purchasing power of working together. So my wife and I found one of these anchor stores, or former anchor stores, at the corner of Manitoba and Sinclair in the North End. And of course, it's now a private home.
Yeah, I've never heard of anchor stores. That's a new one for me.
Right. And for me, too, I suspect this is because it didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
Participants in this network met in 1935, and they congratulated themselves on how well the system was working. But I could find no more references to them after 1937. It sounds like the network just petered out at that point. But the idea, at least, was a popular one because I found at least two other chains of independent grocers that were supplied centrally. One was called Red and White Stores. And its advertising tagline was just around the corner from everywhere. Well, I found a list of 41 Red and White stores from mid-1929. And one of them that we found on our walk was at the corner of Magnus and Sinclair. In fact, it was only a block away from the previously mentioned anchor store. Another chain was called Pure Foods. And in 1934, there were 95 of them in neighborhoods all over the city. One of them was at the corner of Luxton and St. Cross, and today it's a private home. In fact, in looking through historical newspapers from the 1920s and 30s, I found over 300 corner stores, and this is undoubtedly a major underestimate of the total count. You know, a lot of them are gone. Like, the building is physically gone today. Some of the buildings are still standing, but the businesses themselves, they're long gone. And I think maybe the best illustration of this trend is shown in Fort Rouge.
Oh, why in Fort Rouge?
Well, this was a solid middle-class neighborhood that was established in the early 20th century, and its earliest houses date to the 1910s and 20s. Using a combination of walking around, driving a little bit, and searching through historical newspapers, I looked for corner stores in an area that was bounded on the east by Pembina Highway, on the west by Stafford Street, on the south by Grand Avenue, and on the north by Corridon Avenue. That was sort of the rough approximate area of Fort Rouge. Mm-hmm. It's a total area of about a third of a square mile, so not an especially large area. Yet in the 1930s, it contained no fewer than 8 corner stores. 3 of them were affiliated with Pure Foods and 1 with Red and White.
I'm assuming none of them are still in operation today, though.
No, none of the 8 are still stores. All have been converted to private homes, or in one case, to a ceramic studio. Mm-hmm. My wife remembers one of them, though, at the corner of Fleet and Arbuthnot, very fondly. It was close to her school, Earl Grey. And like my experience at Dieppe School, she and her friends stopped there to buy candy. Well, in the 1930s, the building had been a grocery store in the Pure Foods chain. After the Second World War, a returning sailor named Peter Jachetta turned it into a candy store. And you mentioned before about, you know, signs that often weren't present. Well, in this case, the official name of it was the Earl Grey Confectionery, mm-hmm. but all the locals knew it as Pete's.
Right.
Well, Mr. Jachetta, who was Pete, operated the confectionery into the 1980s, when a lot of them tended to close.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there are many corner stores anymore.
No, and I think the disappearance of them through the 1960s, 70s, 80s, I think reflects our changing shopping preferences. You know, at one time they filled an important niche, particularly when few people owned an automobile. So, you know, the close proximity then of these neighborhood stores was a big advantage. Today, well, local demand for junk food, for cigarettes, for milk, is fulfilled by a few convenience stores, usually situated on major streets. But otherwise, many of us prefer to drive to big boxes or to shop online. But, you know, there are a few of the traditional corner stores still remaining.
Oh, such as?
Well, in 1911, Simon and Anna Matus bought a home in Point Douglas at the corner of Euclid and Grove, and they added a little piece to it that became a corner store. Now, among their descendants are prominent Judge Roy Matus and present-day human rights lawyer David Matus. The Matus family operated that store until 1954, when it was sold and renamed the Euclid Meat Market.
Right.
In the 1970s, it became Metro Meat, and that remains in operation today. In fact, if you go by it, they have a nice big sign on the outside that advertises as the
Ringleaders of Kubasaw. Right.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
You just prompted another memory. We used to drive to Metro Meats. We would turn off of the Disraeli Bridge in between the two bridges and make a turn over there into Point Douglas. And I remember being afraid that we were going to drive off that sharp riverbank into the river. That's something I haven't thought of in ages. Why do corner stores survive in some places and not others, though?
Well, I think the places where the traditional corner stores still exist are ones where the tendency to get in your car and drive to a big box is just not as common, and, you know, where there's a genuine sense of community. And so I think maybe places like Point Douglas and to some extent Wolseley are such parts of Winnipeg.
Right, right. Another one just came to mind down the corner of our block and a couple of streets over, Charlie's, where we'd go and he used to make corned beef and he would sell his own private corned beef.
You know, a lot of these corner stores seem to have a connection with meat somehow.
Yeah, really interesting, because I think there was about 4 in my area growing up. And those are memories I haven't thought of in a long time. Thanks for that, Gordon.
You're welcome, Bruce.
So what's up for next week?
Well, I'm going to share a story from Manitoba's aviation history that involves 3 farm boys from Homewood and a Roman Catholic priest.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that one. Talk to you in a week, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.